This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement could finally take effect next month, assuming the remaining steps in the process occur and an impeachment trial does not get in the way. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley will lead committee action on USMCA implementing legislation, assuming the House first sends over the measure it passed last week. But Speaker Nancy Pelosi is holding back the articles of impeachment that, ironically, once sent, could preempt quick Senate action on USMCA that Pelosi was using as a political counterbalance to impeachment in the House. Grassley plans to move early, maybe to beat the trial.
We're going to have a markup. It'll be early next year, and we will get it done. I have no doubt about that.
Grassley's scheduled panel action for the bill is January 7th, as soon as the Senate returns, and possibly before Pelosi sends over House articles of impeachment. Grassley says it won't be the normal committee markup of the proposed text, where members can suggest changes, since House Democrats ran out the clock on the full process.
Obviously, I would like to have it happen the way it usually has happened and always happened. So we're going to have a markup. Everything else that we would traditionally do is out of our control because the bill was sent up here.
Meaning the final text Democrats struck with the White House that some Republican senators feel gives too many concessions to U.S. labor and removes key drug patent protections. President Trump, meantime, is anxious to put final signatures on the deal that Mexico has already ratified and Canada is expected to approve soon.
We'll have a quicker signing because we want to get it done. The deal is done. It's just being translated right now.
But USMCA, worth more than $2 billion in new agricultural exports and 176,000 new jobs overall, remains wrapped up in impeachment politics as Democrats claim credit for a deal Trump campaigned for to replace NAFTA. And now the question is timing, whether USMCA will come first or again become secondary to impeachment. In news on trade around the world, the president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, said late last week that U.S. President Trump will not implement new tariffs on Brazilian steel and aluminum imports as threatened earlier in December. I had a phone conversation with President Trump, Bolsonaro said during a Facebook Live session. He was convinced by my arguments, and I decided to tell all Brazilians that our steel and aluminum will not be hit hard by additional tariffs. A U.S. source confirmed to Reuters that the administration won't be implementing tariffs talked about by Trump earlier in the month. Trump announced the possibility of tariffs on Brazil and Argentina during a tweet on December 2nd, accusing the two countries of devaluing their currencies, a move that hurts U.S. farmers by making their agricultural commodities more expensive on the world market when compared to those from Brazil and Argentina. The U.S. had originally exempted steel and aluminum imports from Brazil and Argentina from the sweeping metal tariffs implemented in March of 2018. A close ally to President Trump and his biggest economic rival are looking at a possible trade relationship in 2020. Israel is another U.S. ally that's now looking to conclude a free trade agreement with China as early as next year. A senior Israeli official anonymously tipped off Bloomberg because the discussions aren't public. The two countries first began talking back in 2016. The latest round of discussions is causing other countries to closely scrutinize the potential cooperation between a U.S. ally and an adversary. The U.S. is pressuring Israel to be cautious when talking about China playing a role in its economy. From a trade perspective, it's a balancing act for Israel, who faces a more assertive China as the United States takes a different military posture in the Middle East. Israeli and Chinese officials met about a month ago for their seventh round of talks. The officials, who spoke with Bloomberg, says it's still not yet a sure thing that Israel will be able to wrap up a deal next year. A political deadlock is preventing the establishment of a new government in Jerusalem. Back here in U.S. news, the U.S. government jumped into a California court case that found glyphosate, The active ingredient in Roundup causes cancer. The Environmental Protection Agency filed a friend of the court brief last week that said it reviewed and approved the label on the weed-killing product and said that a jury finding based on California law should be reversed. Even the Department of Justice joined the EPA in weighing in on the ruling in the long-running court battle over Roundup. Over the summer, the judge in his case cut the jury award to $25 million in the case of a man who claimed his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was caused by years of Roundup use. However, the judge did not reverse the jury finding in the case, saying in his opinion that Roundup was defective because the label did not include a cancer warning. Back in May, the EPA issued a statement saying it continues to find no risk associated with glyphosate if it's used following the current label and that glyphosate is not a carcinogen. Bayer, which acquired Monsanto, the company that originally produced Roundup, was optimistic after the latest legal turn in the case, saying the company is encouraged after the U.S. government and other parties opted to support the company's appeal. In U.S. livestock news, as of December 1st, U.S. farms contained 77.3 million hogs and pigs. That's a 3% jump from December of 2018, but down slightly from September of this year. Those were some of the numbers released in the quarterly hog and pig report this week, published by the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Other key findings in the report said of those 77.3 million hogs and pigs, 70.9 were market hogs, while 6.46 million were kept for breeding purposes. Between September and November of this year, 35.1 million pigs were weaned across U.S. farms, which is up 2% from the same time last year. From September through November, U.S. hog and pig farmers weaned an average of 11 pigs per litter. U.S. producers intend to have 3.13 million sows farrowed between December of this year and February of next, and they'll also have another 3.15 million sows farrow between March and May of next year. Iowa had the largest inventory among the states, coming in at 24.8 million head. North Carolina and Minnesota tied for second, with each having 9.2 million head of hogs in inventory. Moving on now to state and local news. Coming up in just over a month is the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show to be held again this year in Peoria at the Civic Center. Here to tell us the details on this year's show is Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association.
Yeah, we're getting ready for, I shouldn't say ready, but we've got most of our planning done for the 2020 Midwest Truckers Convention and the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show. We have got, we think, a great lineup of programs to deal with. There are so many issues out there, not affecting, truck operators, but, you know, our members are made up of a broad cross-section of the business community. We have farmers. We have construction companies. We have ready-mix companies. We have grain haulers. We have Roxana gravel haulers. We have guys who haul dry freight. I mean, we have, you know, it's not just the guy you see going down the interstate highway. It's everybody that's out there. And it's a good chance your neighbor's a member because, right down here, you know, and we've got, in the counties around here, we've got 100 members in each county. I mean, it's, you know, it's a big group. But they all come together in February because they learn a lot about, you know, what new regulations are out there that affects their operating trucks. But then we talk a lot about business issues. What do we have to deal with? There's been a slew of new laws that have been passed. How are you going to deal with recreational marijuana? There's new requirements for sexual harassment training. There are, you know, new laws that are going into effect for truckers, you know, in terms of drug and alcohol testing clearinghouse. I mean, I go on and on and on about all these new things that are coming up. And it's the one place they can go where in a couple days they can get informed. They can keep up to date with the business issues. And the good part about it is that, you know, all these issues are represented by state and federal agencies. Well, what we do is that not only do we bring the state and federal agencies into, you know, for programs and stuff, but they all come in, they have booths at the truck and trailer show. So if you got a question about your license, you can talk to, you know, Secretary of State. If you've got an issue on a road issue or something like that, IDOT's there, you can talk to them. If you've got, you know, questions in regards to certain regulation on the federal level, you know, USDOT is there, and they're more than happy to, you know, sit there and talk to everybody. I hate to say it, we got a bunch of lawyers there, you know, but they're very informative. And because of them, you know, they basically volunteer their time. And it helps educate everybody, keeps them in line so that they don't get surprised down the road. And that happens, you know, and you don't want it to happen. So if you can educate yourself, be smart on an issue, you're following the law. That makes it, you know, worth everybody's time.
And I believe last year, if I remember right, you had some state police there showing a mock roadside inspection. Are you going to be having that again this year?
It's one of the most popular and one of the most attended sessions. We do it 4 times a day, and it is a mock level one truck inspection. What I mean, it is the number one from top to bottom inspection of a truck that the state police would do on your truck if you were to get pulled over on the highway. Or if they pull you into the weigh station and they say, go around, you know what that means. So what we do is we get a truck that's kind of rough and bring it in. And, you know, you can crawl under the truck if you want. You can do what you want. And the inspectors are great because they'll show you everything, you know, what's there, and show you where the problems are. And people have a lot of fun because they want to see if they're smarter than the state police officer, you know, or if they are as good as the state police officer in finding problems with the trucks. So they have fun with that. You know, we do the Trucker's Pride Truck Beauty Contest, which is always fun because what we do is that we whittle it down and we get down to the 25 best, as we call it, pride and polish trucks out there. A lot of chrome, a lot of great paint jobs, and it's fun. And everybody who goes to the show, they get to vote. What's your favorite truck? And so, you know, we give out a whole slew of trophies. We give out, you know, cash prizes. And then we give out one big trophy, you know, People's Choice Award. And that People's Choice Award is the one that people select over the two days of the truck show.
And we'll go over the dates for the truck show. That's February 6th and 7th up in Peoria.
6th, 7th, and 8th. Thursday, February 6th, we start off. We do some sessions those days. It's mostly educational on Thursday. The truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, February 7th, and it goes till 5 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock, February 8th, and it goes till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The good thing about it this year it's a week later, thus it's not on Super Bowl weekend. A lot of people say, well, I want to be home for Super Bowl. Well, you'll be home for Super Bowl, so come to Peoria the following week and you can you could enjoy the truck show. And it is a great time. It's free admission to the truck show. If you want to participate in the sessions, there is a registration fee for the convention itself, but that includes all your meals. That includes hospitality, a whole slew of stuff, and it's well worth it. If you want more information, you can check our website, www.midwesttruckshow.com. All the registration forms are on there. All the agenda items are there, and housing information, everything you need to make a weekend of it in Peoria. If you don't want to go for the whole time, you can go for one day. You can go to sessions for one day if you want, depending on what your schedule's like. But, you know, we get 6,000 people that come through there over the 2 days of the truck show. And always room for more, though.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. And the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show will be held on February 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Peoria Civic Center. And for more information on the truck show, you can call 217-525-0310 or visit their website, MidwestTruckShow.com. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board, the University of Illinois Extension will be offering the state-mandated Certified Food Protection Managers class and exam. The Illinois Department of Public Health and Food Sanitation Code requires food service establishments to be under the operational supervision of a Certified Food Protection Manager during their hours of operation. Certificates need renewal every 5 years, and the class attendance is mandatory to sit for the exam. The two-day course will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro on January 30th and 31st. Participants are required to attend both days of class, and the exam will take place on the second day. They'd like you to please bring a photo ID, and the class, materials, and exam will be offered in English. The class will be taught by Lisa Peterson, nutrition and wellness educator with the U of I Extension. The class provides the minimum classroom work to prepare for the national certification examination. Topics will include foodborne illness, safe food handling, cooking and storage, employee health and hygiene, safety, facility safety and maintenance, and cleaning and sanitation. They'd like you to pre-register by Thursday, January 16th. The pre-registration is required because exams need to be ordered prior to the course. You can register by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office or online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. For any questions or concerns, you can call the County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941 or email lap5981@illinois.edu. Again, the Food Certified Food Managers class will be held on January 30th and 31st, and pre-registration is by Thursday, January 16th. Also, the Carlinville FFA alumni will be holding a dinner auction at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on January 18th. Doors will open at 5:30, dinner will be at 6:30, and a live auction will be held at 8. Dinner for the evening is ribeye or chicken breast, and that'll be catered by the Carlinville Elks. There'll also be a cash bar. Tickets are available for $20 for adults. Children 12 and under are $15. Tickets are available at the CNB or PJ's Tire, or the FFA alumni members have them as well. Those are all in Carlinville. For additional information or donations for their silent and live auction, you can contact Molly Rosentreter and Stillwell, Kevin Groves, or Matt Slidham, and all proceeds will go to the youth in the Carlinville FFA chapter. And that'll wrap it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any Ag news or any other Ag Community Bulletin Board items for us, you can email those to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, December 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.